Welcome to the Beyond Body podcast with your hosts, Mia and Holly. Join us for a sometimes fortnightly podcast
where we explore all things mental health, being a messy human, and how to get the most out of this one precious life.
And all the ridiculous stories in between. Welcome back, everybody. You are in for a warm, fuzzy, love-filled listen today. Last time Holly and I recorded, we were obviously talking about the power of female friendship, how it has saved us, made us who we are, been such a source of joy. And we wanted, as an extension of that, to interview our best girls individually. And I'm so happy to share my chat with my best girl, Josie. Many of you will be familiar with Josie if you've been around here for the last 10 years, not only because we've been best friends for 32 years, really sisters for 32 years, but also because she is a phenomenal artist. She has a beautiful account on Instagram called Josie Doodles. And yeah, she's just unbelievable all the way around. I always say there is nobody on the planet like Josie Eady. And we go into all kinds of things, the nature of our friendship, how we sustain it and take care of it, how we take care of each other, how we navigate different periods of our lives and not always being on the same page as far as where we are in life. We talk about the whole concept of female friendship and how and why people might be disconnected from it and how to reconnect yourself to some of those opportunities to invite that back into your life or have it in your life for the first time. There's even advice about where you might be able to seek that out, from baby steps all the way to like being really brave and throwing yourself in the deep end. It's just a really beautiful chat. And, you know, this kind of friendship is something that I hope for everybody. It's something that I'm so proud of. It's, you know, one of the most valuable things that I cherish in my life. So to get to share it with you today is really, really special. Enjoy, settle in. There's no video component. It is just audio for the chat because we recorded in my apartment and we just wanted to be relaxed and sit around like we do when we have our monthly sleepover as if we're still 6 years old. So enjoy it. And Holly's episode with her best friend will be out in 2 weeks from now. So look out for that. So Josephine Eady, we are here together. The people can't see us, but they can hear us. We're not doing video because this is quite intimate as it is.
It is.
Yes.
There's a close proximity happening here.
Yes. Josie's currently sitting on my lap. She's straddling me. I'm kidding. The reason I actually start joking about that is because I put up a random Q&A on my Instagram last week about recovery questions. And one of the questions, I can't believe I didn't send you this.
Yeah.
One of the questions I got was, what exactly is your relationship with Josie Doodles? Show it to you.
Oh my God, scandalous.
I know.
My goodness.
Not even like, what's your friendship? It was like, what exactly is the nature? It felt very like cross-examining.
That sounds like a tabloid headline in the making. My goodness. Mm. You know, let's keep the mystery alive.
That's right.
Which we're just about to absolutely not do.
Absolutely, absolutely. So wanted to obviously have a chat to you today because Holly and I had discussed getting together with our best friends to talk about the importance and power of female friendship.
Love it.
And there is nobody else who I would talk to about this because it's been, I think it's our 31-year anniversary this year.
It is. Last month. Yep.
Yes, because we met in kindergarten, which was right at the start of the year.
Yeah.
So easy to remember. And obviously yours is the longest friendship I've had, but particularly I think you and I both have a really strong appreciation of female friendship because of all the different female friendships that we have. But
yeah,
certainly I consider you a core relationship in my life. And Holly, I know, shares similar experiences with the women in her life. And so I guess we just wanted to get into what it is that makes that dynamic what it is. Because yep, now more than ever, we know, particularly post-COVID, that the rates of loneliness and the yep rates of isolation are really increasing, more so amongst men, but we are seeing the stats catch up with women. And a lot of what I actually see and hear on social media when I talk about my female friendships is a real lack of and quite a lot of shame that women carry about not having core female friendships. And I'm not using the term best friend here because I think that we can then start to get into like different categories of friendship, but like that core, yeah, close, intimate female friendship. Have you noticed that? Like, people are discussing that more?
have not noticed people discussing it. I found I learned about that through doing the doodles. That's an account, and I have where I upload some little cartoons and things, not so much anymore, but I would post drawings with a caption about turning to the close friends in your life, and I particularly am aiming at females here, I guess. And people would send me private messages saying, hey, I actually don't have like a close friend in my life or someone I can turn to and be vulnerable with. How do you suggest going about that? And I was quite shocked, and I don't want to sound ignorant, I guess, but I didn't realize that people maybe didn't have the opportunities to find those or grow those friendships, or maybe those friendships were just had fallen apart, which is quite normal, and that there's nothing wrong with that. I am hearing from a few people that they maybe don't have quite the same experiences as others with friendships. So yeah, I know that's all still a bit new to me.
I definitely experience it in client work as well, when we're working through kind of like the connection and help seeking aspect, and we're looking at people's support systems. And I do notice quite a lot of my clients in their 20s and 30s reporting that they just really feel like they have a lack of female friendship, that there has either never really been a strong like core support network of female friends, or as you say, like it's been lost along the way, either because people travel or they grow apart or they move overseas for an extended period of time, and they just get out of like the routine and the rotation of their, you know, old friendship groups or whatever. But I think that obviously one of the reasons why I thought our conversation would be helpful to people is because we've known each other since we were 5 years old. We're now 36, about to turn 37. And we've been through so many different iterations of our lives. We've been through so many different growth periods. We've been on totally different paths to each other. We've lived overseas at different times. We've had, you know, periods where we've both been single, where one of us has been partnered. You now have the most fantastic creature on the planet, for whom I am even more grateful for your existence, because you gave birth to Nina, who is now my second bestie. So we've been through all these different iterations, but have somehow been able to not only maintain the closeness, but I think even like grow it even more. So I sent you a few questions, and obviously I've considered them as well, which, I want to explore what it is that has made that possible, because the irony of our friendship is that we're actually both very relaxed, casual people when it comes to...
Oh my God, it's all starting to probably make sense now. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
As much... Do you see what I'm saying? Like the closeness we have, and yet how absolutely... I don't want to use the word lazy, because we do maintain communication and we do talk often, but we have the same attitude and style of like leaving each other be, staying in tune with that, having communication when we need it. Do you know what I mean?
And this is probably a big contributing factor to like the longevity of this friendship, I would say.
Yeah.
That's probably why, like if we've been out of touch, I wouldn't say out of touch, it's like we've probably even gone a whole year without talking at some points.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, I'm back in Sydney, let's meet up. And it's just straight back to being dickheads again. And completely being honest and vulnerable.
So what are three words that you'd use to describe our friendship? What comes to mind for you?
That's really hard to pick three. Mm-hmm. So I think I went with words that made me think of why it's lasted 31 years. This is going to sound maybe towards your point of us being a little bit lazy, but it's effortless.
Yes.
And like by that I don't mean, oh, thank God, like we don't have to do much. I feel like I just gravitate towards you, like there's no sort of effort to find time, no matter how busy life can get. There's no, it's not, oh, okay, like when can I make time? I cannot wait to squeeze in any possible minute with you. So that's what I more mean by effortless. I just feel like our friendship just sort of, we just gravitate back towards each other as soon as we have the opportunity to do so. And also, Okay. The other one I'm going to say is just pure and utter joy.
Yeah.
That's when I think of our friendship, I just think just joy, like so much laughter. Just honestly, I don't think I've ever been such a like dickhead with anyone else as much as I have been with you and continue to be so. And obviously, you know, by dickhead, I don't mean being an asshole out in society. I just being a complete weird, unfiltered self, and I don't feel any self-conscious feelings or anxiety around that. And it's just raw and honest. So honest, sorry, that's my third word, honest.
Yeah, that's the one we overlap on.
Yeah. What about you?
To reflect on yours, I really like effortless because I think it does. I think that's the word, like when we're trying to think of how we sync up in our communication styles, I definitely think that effortless is absolutely the way to describe it. Because what's funny is that, yes, we've gone periods where we haven't spoken, like in our early 20s or late teens, like going to uni or going overseas or whatever, where we go long stretches of night time not speaking to each other. But then as we've gotten older, like we send each other voice notes every single day. I say to you, I listen to your voice notes like they're a podcast. Like I will literally go back and re-listen to them in one huge chunk without me interrupting with my voice notes. So we found like a style of communication that works for us that is still effortless, even though it's every day.
Yes.
You know?
And oh my gosh, have we gone through the different eras of communication? We've done landlines before mobiles. This was before mobiles, I think, even actually existed, at least for the regular consumer. I think we've done faxes.
Mm-hmm.
That was like our really cool tech way of like sending something really fast to each other. Emails, Facebook, probably statuses, I would say. God, only the millennials will probably catch on for that.
Me if in late years.
And missing Josie. And now voice notes. My gosh, can I just want to stress how good voice notes are. If you have a friendship like that with someone, jump on and just send each other voice notes.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Without having to make that time in your day to like pick up the phone and have a like live conversation. You can just be like, I'm having a really shit day.
And the amount of them that I've listened back to, like I was going through a dating situation back in January that was very like love bomby, gaslighty, getting lost in the fog and the source of someone else's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of your voice notes that I listened back to, like to reground me and be like, nope, she's right. Nope. Yep. That how I felt yesterday still applies. That this voice note I will still apply tomorrow and in 5 years and 10 years.
And how good is that? That it's recorded. So you can like go, What was she saying again yesterday?
Yeah.
Like I might have felt a bit emotional or whatever. I'll listen to it again. Like how awesome. You can just replay it.
Yeah. I like want to go and get like our greatest hits and literally like just turn them into one long recording that I can listen to like a morning meditation.
Don't text him back. Don't text him back.
You know, like you walk around like a goddess that you are. And I'm like, yes, I will. Even though I can't get out of bed with endo, but when I can get out of bed, look out world, I'm on my goddess walk. But the one that we lap over with is honesty, like total honesty. And I have said always, like if anybody has been watching my channel for long enough where I have spoken about some of this stuff more in depth, I have often said like the thing that I value about my friendships the most, one of the key elements that I look for in all my friendships is they can tell me the truth, whether it's the best, most positive, wonderful, gleaming thing, or it's something that I really need to hear that I probably don't want to hear. And I feel like you have delivered that many times over 31 years where I will be talking and a face will just appear and I'm like, oh, I'm about to get it. I am about to get it.
I mean, and you're always my timing though.
I'm not
going to be honest necessarily just whenever.
No.
Check it's a good time.
And never like not that kind of just like asshole brutal honesty where people are like, I'm just being honest. It's always very like practically delivered, but it's never letting me off the hook with my probably like my worst instincts where I'm like, I just want to talk about that other person's behavior. And you're like, hang on a minute, but who sent which text message first? I'm like, shusho. We're not talking about my behavior. We're talking about, we're having a bitch about them. And you're like, well, context matters.
I do love those memes you always see on Instagram about like two best friends just reaffirming each other's toxic traits or terrible, what would you say? Like, ideas or opinions on things. Yeah, totally. And I even think sometimes, because I do love that and I definitely relate to it, But then at some point when it feels ready, you know, you might pull up your friend and be like, well,
yeah. And it's always been in my best interest. Like, it's never been, calling out your behavior, because, and it may not even just be my behavior. I might be looking at something through rose-tinted glasses and you're like, I want you to like have that moment or that joy or whatever, but like, I just want you to be mindful of this as well. And I'm like, okay. And then the other shoe drops and I'm like, oh, that's what she was talking about.
You got to let them get there on their own a little bit, but just plant the seed a little bit just in case.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is like, it's never ultimatums or, like I said, like that brutal asshole honesty. It's always just like, if you know, if you need the space to talk about this, like, I'm the friend you can talk to about it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
If you get to the point where something makes you uncomfortable or you come to a realization that's painful, like, I'm here and ready to discuss it.
Yeah.
Which I need that balance as
Like, that's where, I mean, I don't know if everyone relates to this, but I just gravitate so much more to a friendship where people are being honest.
Yes.
And by that I even mean a bit vulnerable, you know, like, just be honest about how you're feeling or what you're going through. And obviously I'm not saying you have to share everything with me, but it just makes for such a nicer, enriching time together, and then the friendship gets deeper, like,
yes,
you know, and you just become more connected, and it's amazing. And
yeah,
that's what's, I just love so much about my female friendships. Yeah. So much.
Yeah, the honesty thing in that vulnerability part, because that was, I kind of was picking between like familial and vulnerable, because you and I have both more recently been working on like in real time vulnerability.
Yeah,
because that's probably another thing that's kept us bonded for a long time, is that we're so similar in some ways, so different in others, but we're both very, very independent.
Yes.
Very much like, I've got this, I'll fix it, and then I'll tell you about it.
I'll let you know once I've fixed this really impossible thing to fix. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know how it went after. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so dumb. Well, I mean, to some extent, yes, I get it. Like, if that's what helps us to get through initially in the period, but we're getting so good now at jumping on the voice notes,
yeah,
and saying, this is a bit, sorry, can I swear?
Of course. Yeah,
this is a bit shit. And then you realize then when you get the voice note back from your friend being like, oh my God, yes, that just sounds crap.
Yes.
You're like, oh gosh, it just feels so good to even just have like that familiar voice in your ear.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're getting really good now.
I know, in real-time processing.
A little bit more dependent, a teeny tiny bit.
Who would have
thought? I'm proud of us.
But that honesty has been, yeah, like us both kind of not just sharing sort of honest feedback and that kind of thing, but I think honesty more recently, as you're putting it, like with the vulnerability piece, has been huge, because, you know, especially over the last few years, when things are bigger than you and you can't go away and fix it by yourself, but you're not practiced it in real time, saying to someone like, I'm having a really tough week, I'm struggling with grief, I'm feeling really lonely, I would usually let that ferment and just like fall apart for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And then we'd see each other and I'd be like, everything's fine now, but let me tell you about the last 6 weeks when I've been like just spiraling, which just being able to reach out and have a quick exchange and you sending me some voice notes before I go to sleep just ups the chances of the next morning me waking up and sending you voice notes being like, I slept well, it's all okay now.
Never mind. But that's so true, because then when you would save it and then tell me a month later when we would actually see each other face to face, and I'd be like, what about this, this, and this? And you're like, oh my God, yes. And then you're like, oh, should have communicated in real time. Or a little bit sooner.
You said this to me six weeks ago when you had no idea this was going on. Rude. But yeah, familial is probably my second one, because it feels far more like family these days than friendship, and has forever. Like, if I look back on our relationship, like, Mum even says it, she's like, Josie's your sister. You know, you've always operated like that. Because yeah, we have all the balance of the, you know, all the great and fun and joyful and silly and, you know, classic female friendship parts of the relationship. But I think we also have, yeah, the very real aspects of like a lasting sort of familial relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where you're with someone through all the up and all the down. It's not just the good. It's not just the moments to celebrate. Like, you're really weathering the storm with somebody. And especially, I think, since you had Nina as well, where it's just like, I think of that person as my niece. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, and she thinks of you as her auntie.
And so it's like, I think those bonds, especially as you get older and you're faced with some seriously adult shit, 30 plus, it's like you could have, I think a lot of people could have traversed a lot of life with a really close friend and hit their 30s and go, oh, there's some really big, heavy stuff here.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to survive it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we just naturally got through it and then went, oh, wow, like both had some huge adult moments and we're still together.
And some of that, obviously, as we said before, went through some of those big things even on our own for whatever reason, but always just come back to each other.
My third one was hilarious, I think, like which is similar to your one, Joy, because I'm not just like, it is currently, we're still just as daggy. We can make the dumbest jokes that I would just, if I said it to anyone else, it would make no sense. Do you know what I mean? Like people would be like, what are you talking about? But I think back across our childhood and like the games that we used to make up at on the playground and at the pool, and like we couldn't bring anyone else in, not because we were being we weren't excluding anyone. They just didn't make any fucking sense.
Like we were weird, and we still are. And to be honest, I mean, like I don't know if anyone knows this. I guess not. You know, here's a little bit more inside our relationship. We do sleepovers, so I come over to Amelia's house probably, well, whenever I can, once a month, once every 6 weeks, and have a full-blown proper sleepover like it's in primary school. And I feel like, yes, okay, we're not six-year-olds anymore, but the humor is still somewhat just that, like you said, just that weird, kooky humor that we have between us. And we always end up just in fits of laughter at 2 a.m. before we're like forcing ourselves to go to bed, just like you would have at a sleepover, like, you know, as kids, as we did as kids. Like,
And even like, I think it was only a few months ago, we watched the remake of like The Little Mermaid together, which we would have seen 1,000 times as kids. And now to watch that and just, we weren't fans, just as a spoiler. Not,
she was great. What was her name? Halle Bailey. She was fantastic. The movie was,
We didn't love the production.
Subjective, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But let's get cancelled.
We're
for the
hardcore cartoon fans that watch that movie probably like 8 times a week. So maybe look, that's unfair of us.
I loved Beauty and the Beast, and people hated it. I think it's a very hard thing to make
live
our
action.
I loved
people
it.
People hated the live
people
action.
Hated it. Okay, they hate all of them.
That's on them.
They hate all of them.
Was fantastic.
Like Aladdin and, I mean, this is a whole different podcast topic on its own.
Yeah.
but yeah, she was phenomenal. The whole production was just Yawnsville. and then the whole career ended.
I'm not sure if it was Yawnsville because you've had a lot of comments to make. I mean, my goodness, it took us like 4 hours to get through the movie because Mia would just be pausing it to be like, what the...
So reflecting on some of that, and clearly we've got some crossover of, you know, how we think about our friendship.
Yes.
What do you think, mate, has made it, and I hate to use the word successful because that's so subjective, long lasting and sustainable? How do you think we've been able to stay in each other's lives for 31 years?
I think, like, I definitely would say, I think 31 sounds very, I know people can be like, wow, that's a really long time. Like, how have you done that? I don't think that that's an achievement, obviously, as you sort of were just saying then. It's not like it's that makes it successful because it was so long. We've just also, I think, grown at the same sort of rate, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know if anyone else feels like, you know, there's been some wonderful friendships I've had, but they just kind of outgrew. Or they burned out and that's fine, you drift apart, or something disappointing happens and you're like, cool, not for me, and that's fine. Draw a line in the sand with some people, but I just feel like everything we've gone through has been really different to each other, but we come back and have kind of, I don't want to say grown as if that makes you mature or successful either, but we've just kind of grown at the same time. So no one's drifted off in a different direction or has fallen behind or gone ahead.
Yes.
That sounds
no,
really
I know
bad,
what you mean.
But you know what I mean?
Developing differently.
You know, there's just, there's those friends where you're like, oh, you're still there and you're still doing that and whatever, you do you, but I'm over here now because this is just who I am now.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that you're better or anything, but yeah, I don't know. That sounds, I know, a bit more technical about our friendship than, but I think, you know, those things we're talking about, like the three things that describe our friendship, like there's all that, that definitely is why it just keeps on organically blossoming. God, forgive my cheesy word, but it's just,
I'm a sentimental,
it does, it just feels like it's still just growing and growing. And obviously because we have so much history, so it just, there's more and more and stuff for us to reflect on.
Yeah.
For me, it just feels like a really safe space. Mm-hmm. And that's also where I just keep coming so easily. Like I say, like I gravitate to you just so, and this friendship. So it just feels like you are my family and I need to be around you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a very big family and I'm an only child. So I made my own as well. I guess also it does help that we have the same, like similar values, do you think?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if I could get so close with someone that thinks like that wouldn't have maybe those same values and sort of political.
Yeah.
What's the word? Outlook?
Yeah, I think outlook.
Or like, you know.
Diplomatic.
I get that. It's a diplomatic way to put it. That is very, very important.
Yes.
That would be important for me for any close, like whether that's a relation, like a romantic relationship or a friendship, then yeah.
Well, I think that's so much because one of the defining things that I look for in friendships is, you know, of course, how somebody treats you in a friendship, but also how you see people treat others.
Yeah.
I've never really understood the position of like, but they haven't done that to me, or like they don't speak like that to me, or they don't do that to me. Do you know what I mean? Where you see a pattern of behavior in someone else, it's just like tick, 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 tick. It's going to be your turn eventually. But that's not that it should be reason enough to call into question like how somebody treats someone else, like how somebody treats wait staff or whatever is obviously a very clear indicator of values.
Can I just say, every single time you see those red flags popping up when you watch a friend being friends with someone, and you're like, oh, I've noticed this, and they're like, oh, they're really nice. No, they're really nice. And I'm like, well, this happened and that happened. Eventually, that red flag gets thrown into the ring in that friendship as well, which is really sucks to watch. Yeah. It's not like you're going to say, I told you so, but you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that treatment of other people and that like reflection of their values, I've always felt like you've always been like a inherently just like kind and empathetic person and a fair person as well. Like you're not just I've always said this to you, like I'm very shoot from the hip, you're very observant. Like you'll take your time and you'll really like make an assessment, whereas I'm like, you need something, I'm all in. And you're like, can you pull the reins back? Have you not learnt your lesson yet of like just sit back and observe this situation for a second? But at the core, you are incredibly kind and incredibly empathetic to people, but you also have such a strong sense of boundaries and a real sense of, I've said this to you for so long, which I don't think you understand how rare it is. Ever since we were tiny, you have like had such a core, strong sense of self without any hint of like arrogance or hubris or pride or anything. It's just this very anchored person who, when I look at like the through line, I feel like I've been on like a friggin' like tilt-a-whirl in terms of like all my eras of my life and who I've been. And you are just this very solid anchored person. Like obviously you've grown and developed and changed, and but that core part of you has always stayed really consistent, which is what I love about like the ways that we're the same and the ways that we're different, because I've said to you, like, if God, Joseph, if you could just bottle up that strong sense of self and that just innate sense of like absolute worth without it turning into arrogance or pride or hubris, like I would love bottles of it. And I said to you recently that I really feel like in my mid 30s, I've entered more into that feeling.
Yep.
And I think watching you as an example and having you to bounce situations off or, you know, thoughts about myself or whatever, I think has like helped to navigate me further towards that thing that has just always come so naturally to you.
Isn't that
cool? I had no representation of that in my life but you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And the thing is, I've done that with just some really incredible attributes of yours as well, and I've taken that and I've used it in my life for myself, for other friendships or whatever at work or just interactions with people. And it's so nice to, I think that's also where it's like, you, if you see an asset in your friend and you celebrate it and you feel inspired by it rather than feel envious of it. And totally. That's something I've always found with you throughout the whole 31 years. Anything I come to you with that's a joy or good news in my life, you celebrate it immediately. It doesn't matter where you're at. And that really makes this such a really wonderful safe space as well. Like it's just so, I mean, I know it's a human thing to maybe sometimes feel a bit jealous and a bit envious of people's situations.
Or competitive.
But like competitive. Yeah. But I just feel like I can come to you and say anything and it's like, right, that is fucking amazing. Well done. You deserve this. And that's what I really love. I feel like every time there's been a cause to celebrate, we celebrate each other for their achievements and what they've done. And like you said, like we look at each other's attributes. We see each other's attributes and then we, rather than try and trump it, and I'm not saying that this is what girls do, I know we got sold that message of like competitive, toxic, bitchy, no, but it is quite hard, I think, in any friendship sometimes with people to find that someone's just like amazing, this is so good, I feel inspired by your attributes, I want to take some of that on, and rather than sort of feel competitive with it, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for. But
I think that's part of like when I think about what's made our relationship long lasting is that I think we're both naturally not terribly competitive. And I don't even want to say as women, I want to say as just people. I have never been outwardly competitive. I've always been inwardly competitive in terms of what I'm doing now that I should, you know, that is better or different than what I was doing 6 months ago or a year ago or whatever. It's never been my instinct to be very comparative or competitive.
Yeah.
When I was in my eating disorder, completely different kettle of fish. But in terms of my true nature, it's just never been my instinct. And I've never seen you be very like comparative or competitive outside of normal doses of it at certain periods of your life. But it's not neither of our defaults, because I've always felt the same way, whether or not it's like something that's happening personally or professionally or whatever. I want to tell you about it because I know that what comes back to me is like the same as how my mum would celebrate it and just be like, that is amazing. I am so proud of you.
Yeah.
And like you, especially after the last few years with loss that I've been through, like I don't have a lot of family and I don't have a ton of people to be like, oh my God, that's great. I'm so proud of you. Or to just like hear what's happening or like a win or something exciting that's going on and just have it be like that unbridled joy for somebody else, but like there's just nothing else in it, you know, because as you say, even in the ways that I see your attributes and I'm like, I would like to be more like that, or I would like to emulate that. I think you and I have a shared thinking where it's like, and this, I mean, this is going to go into all the feminism patriarchy stuff.
Love it.
Of like,
do it.
Give us a little bit and we'll all fight over it versus my view. And I think I got a lot of this from my dad, which is, oh, if you've got something, you can make more of it. You just have to find out like the process by which it was made and learn that process and then just keep making it versus like focusing on fighting over the bit that you've been given.
Yeah.
Find the formula and make more of it. And that's my attitude in business and in advocacy and in life and friendships and all that sort of stuff. So I think that you've both got to have that element. Otherwise you might end up in a competition that you don't know you're in, or playing a game you don't know you're playing, you know. And I've certainly had scenarios like that where I've been like, oh, I didn't realize that's what we were doing because it's not my default. But I do, as I said, I do also have a profound level of empathy for how and why people, again, this is not necessarily just gendered, can fall into that thinking because we are so programmed to believe like, here's your little bit, now go and fight over it.
Oh God, yeah. And I think I definitely would have like trying to say partake in a bit of that kind of behavior. And I have memories of doing that a little bit in primary school, maybe just even in a group setting, maybe even a little bit in high school. Again, it's coming down to that whole, oh, I'm not like the other girls, and that kind of bullshit that we, you know, pick thought me. We needed to worry. I'm more like a boy than a girl because, ew.
girls are the worst.
Yeah, they're the worst.
I am one, but we're terrible.
Oh,
it's also, as you said, like we've grown, even though we've been through such vastly different experiences, we've grown at similar rates in terms of, like I said to you, Nina was born and then Dad passed away. And I said to you, even though we've just had two wildly different life experiences, they're the kind of life experiences where there's like a you before and a you after. Like there's a you before you had Nina and there's a you after. There's a me before Dad died and there's a me after. And so I think that we've, even though, like I said, we haven't been on an exact parallel, our ability to support each other has been like, I don't actually need to go through exactly what you've been through.
Yep.
To A, be interested, to B, care, and to C, support you through it however like you need me to. And never, you never come to me with like, here's the answers and here's the solutions. It's always just like, what do you need?
Yep.
And I like, I'm here for whatever is happening right now and like however I can support you, but not needing, because I did find that interesting how people reacted. And, you know, we've spoken about this, about different big life events, how people reacted where it was like this assumption that they, oh, but I haven't been through that, so I didn't understand. And it's like, that's not how empathy works.
I'm quite surprised how a lot of people, and, you know, it's completely innocent, they don't know what to do when someone's going through something, especially grief. That's a big one. But through any kind of loss or disappointment or heartbreak, and people like, but what, I just haven't written to them yet because I just haven't sorted out what to say. I'm like, fuck what you say, just say. Like, just be there. Make sure your name pops up on that person's phone, whether it's a phone call or a message or whatever. It is so much better to almost even say something that might even be a bit off and or wrong and whatever. They'll help guide you into, oh, look, not that.
Yes.
But this.
You know, I appreciate you reaching out.
Really appreciate you reaching out. Yeah. Or let's chat or whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Because one of the most beautiful things that you did for me was when Dad was sick and I went to America for those couple of months before he died, was you, like, I just really stopped communicating because the, like, caring for him was just like round the clock and I was also working. And then last thing I wanted to do was talk about it at the end of the day. But you called like multiple times a week or would text and just be like, I'm going to call in, say, like 5 minutes. And if you don't want to pick up and you don't want to talk, you don't have to, but I just, like, it's an option, you know. And I never picked up.
No,
not once.
Not once. What was it, 3 months or something?
Yeah. It's so not once. But every single one of those phone calls, like when you use the word safe, like that's how I feel in our friendship as well, because there's no prerequisite. There's no like, you, there's no judgment. There's no expectation. There's nothing. It's just like absolute love and support, and it's like, and if that's what you need, there it is. But even if you don't utilize it, like, that doesn't mean I'm not going to stop offering it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was just a really, it was great just to keep reminding you that way, like, I'm here. And it's important, I think, when people worry, oh, maybe I'm being annoying by calling and things, you're not. And the person will let you know.
Yes.
If even that's too overwhelming, they'll just say, I'll look, appreciate it, but that's too overwhelming for me at the moment. Yes. I'll be in touch. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was so just powerful. That was a really powerful moment, I think, in our friendship for me, for sure. So let's jump to the next one then. Why do you think female friendship is so important?
I'm going to be, I guess this is what I said, I was going to make a bit more commentary on the other messages that we, like, what we've been conditioned to think is important.
Yes.
Is probably, I think, even why that you have to ask this question is probably due to the fact, which is what I said I was going to get to, is that we've been so conditioned to seek, I think anyway, and I'm obviously, God, a lot of people would be thinking this, but we've been so conditioned to seek the romantic relationship that we're even getting to a point where we have to now stress that these friendships are so important, and actually probably going to be more fulfilling than a romantic relationship, to be honest.
Mm.
I would say, I think, you know, I get it. Like, people get married and they have kids and things like that. And so, yes, that is your new family. But I would say still nurture those female friendships as much as, and even in some situations, even more than, and you can disagree, but more than the romantic relationships. And I think even whether that's that you're married, have kids, whatever the situation is, because, I mean, I also, okay, for the all the other reasons is what we stated about what we love about our friendship, where it's such a safe space to go to. It's nurturing. I can be so vulnerable. I know I won't be judged. I can go into every little detail about a situation, all my feelings, and you're like just there, full eye contact, listening to it all and helping me to debrief or analyze or whatever it is I need. That I really like is definitely for me as someone who's in a romantic relationship with my baby daddy. I don't have all those things with him. He is a wonderful person, mm-hmm. a wonderful partner, but it would also destroy our relationship if I then seeked everything I had in my friendships completely. From him.
Yes.
And I do, you know, I sometimes find speaking to other women in particular who are in heteros, sexual relationships, you know, oh, he doesn't do this and he's not that. And I'm like, to be honest, like a lot of it, I'm like, it's quite fine.
Yeah.
Like they're really lovely things to have in your friendships.
Mm.
And I think you can put a lot of strain on even a really good partner and the relationship you have with them because you're like, right, cool, I'll just get it all from you now.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to happen. And it's not good for you. It's not good for them. It's not good for the relationship. So I also think if people maybe turn, this is, sorry, for people who maybe aren't nurturing their friendships as much as maybe they should or would like to, definitely nurture them more because it not only is so freaking fun and wonderful, and it's nice to have something separate from, especially when you live with like mm-hmm. your partner or whatever, to just have that separate close relationship with someone outside of your home. And but also it probably will even help your relationship a little bit.
Yeah.
I've definitely caught myself thinking things about my partner like, oh, he's just not this enough. But it's, I hate the whole love language thing a little bit, but it just isn't him. Like his way of communication is often through doing things, not so much sitting there and like debriefing and analyzing everything. And I once was like, oh, it's really annoying.
Or like he's also great with like he will come back to you with feedback, but he's like, I just need to like digest this emotionally and like analytically for a minute, and you're like, he'll come back to me the next day. Yeah. I'll have an answer for you tomorrow what he thinks of this situation.
But he's so like just doesn't even communicate that. So he'll just go quiet and you're like, are you even listening? And he's like, whoa, I'm actually just processing all this to give you like the right and honest answer. I'm like, yeah, okay, fair enough. But I also think that, I don't know, for me, and I've spoken to a few other females who feel the same, for me, the relationship, like having the romantic relationship is a bonus to the friendships first.
Yes.
So got my life, got the things I want to pursue, put myself first generally all the time. And I mean that in a healthy way, without hurting anyone.
That needs clarification. I'm sorry,
yes, but it does when it's a woman saying it.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true. And then the female friendships are definitely for me more like part of my foundation of what keeps me tracking my mental health and attending to it when it needs attending to. The fun, the encouragement, just like, I mean, there's just nothing like it. And so I think if we could just shift that kind of, oh, the importance of finding someone who thinks you're desirable and wants to marry you and all those things, I just think it would be so nice if that was just like the extra thing.
Yes.
Like, it's nice and I get it and it's human for us to want to pursue that, but seriously, there's just nothing like your friendships. They're just the best.
I agree with you. One of the most core parts of
having these friendships is like anything. If we put all of our sense of self in one basket,
yep,
and that basket busts open, that's your whole sense of self gone.
Your sense of self, exactly. Yeah, whether that, whatever, whoever that person is, yeah.
And we are so, as you say, whether it's by media and our social media, it's like this over-glorification of traditional, you know, heteronormative relationships, which if that's your bag, fantastic. But conditioning means it might not actually be your bag. You might just think it is because that's what you're meant to be doing.
Yep.
It's kind of like diet culture. Is it something you actually want to pursue, or is it what you've been programmed to believe is your access to belonging and safety and community and, you know, happiness and self-fulfillment and self-actualization and all of those core needs that we have as human beings? Because if there, I think there are so many people who end up believing that they're going to find all their validation and all their affirmation and all of their core needs being met by this other person. And I mean, first and foremost, that's not even, I think, accurate to say about your friendships, no, right?
Exactly.
First, we've got to teach people to be that for themselves,
yep,
and then to use their support system as backup for when we maybe aren't as skilled in an area where we turn to ourselves and go, oh, actually, I don't know how to do that. Or actually, I'm extremely overwhelmed. Or my mental health is not in a great place. I need my people to back me up here. But if you have all of those eggs in even the friend, like one friendship basket or one family member or a partner, then it's a really, really tenuous situation you find yourself in when that person, for whatever reason, relationship breakdown, loss, whatever it is, you know, COVID, being separated across state lines or whatever, when all of your sense of self and all of your coping mechanisms and all of your access to affirmation and validation is all sitting in that one basket. But I think, as you said, the conditioning is that we put it in the relationship basket.
Yeah.
And then you see these people come out of those relationships going, where's my life? Where are my people? Where's my support system? And it's because, yeah, I think conditioning has led them to thinking, I mean, look at every rom-com of all time. There's a reason why the last scene is when they get together, because everything after that is really complicated
Not
perfect. And it's what you're describing of like, they could be the best guy ever. No single human being can be everything to someone.
And then they're all suddenly at the end of those films, the woman's in the overalls painting the baby room with the partner, vomit. Yeah. Oh.
We're just going through two incredibly stressful life experiences, but we're loving it.
So many, I feel like, female authors that have said that as well. They talk about why is it that it always ends there.
Yeah.
They're like, because it's going to get real tricky and a little bit shit.
It's going to get really human, and it's not going to be the shiny package human, of like the kind of like pipeline of, you know, let's get people into these relationships and then go, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, all the cameras are packing up. Good luck. So, like, even they'd even do it on reality shows. They're like, wedding. Bye. I think we're going to pay for counseling. I'm not sure, but you're definitely going to need it. But yeah, it's, I think that, you know, the core of why I really encourage people, like I said, a lot of the work that I do with people is about like help seeking, support systems, finding friendship, finding connections, fostering that. A lot of it is because of the framework of my life. Like, I know what my life is like when I have that robust kind of friendship support system, and what my life is like without it. And it's just like, it's a no-brainer.
Yep.
It's worth the vulnerability and the putting yourself out there and seeking out those connections, or even maybe re-establishing connections that you think are lost or that you think are, maybe you have gone through a tough time in a friendship, or it's just drifted or whatever. I say to people all the time, like, don't give up on it. Like, don't write it all off. Mm. You don't know. You could have somebody else. And I've gone through this with friendships where the other person has been like, thank God you reached out. Or I've said, I thought about reaching out to you I went through this in the last couple of years with like a old school friend where at the exact same time we were like, I feel terrible. I want to reach out to that person. Oh no, she wouldn't want to hear from me. And then our mums ran into each other.
Love it. The universe had to step in.
Right, like organizing play dates for us when we're in our 30s. How sad. But yeah, to never just fully cut the cord on something that could be, don't think that maybe you've got to go out and start completely fresh. There could be someone missing you or thinking of you that you haven't even considered.
Absolutely. Gosh, that is so true. Just don't worry and don't have any ego. And that can even be in like a new sort of after having my daughter, and then, you know, I'd hang around in my local area and I'd see it, run into some other parents who were hanging out, and you get a little bit chatting, and then it's kind of like dating. I think we were speaking about this recently, and you're like, okay, I want to, like, this is the third time we've run into each other now and we've chatted, like, I want to ask for her number. Like, I think this could be like a nice little local friendship, you know. Yeah. You're in the same boat. And everyone just gets a bit nervous. And then a few times I just asked and they're like, oh my God, I'm so glad you asked. I've been like working up the courage for the last two times that we ran into each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, what have you got to lose, right? Just go for it.
Yeah.
If they don't want to, they don't have to.
Yeah.
Well, they can make it fizzle and be distant, and you can just, you'll get the message.
And then it's just great and practice for dating, which is the most important thing on the planet. Which,
guys, that's what we're really working up towards. Romantic relationships. Oh gosh.
That's,
yes,
part two. That's part two. Is psych. It's actually way more important to get the D. Why did I say it like that?
It's very heteronormative of you.
Very, very, very.
This is, I'm just gonna like totally take over here and ask you a little question.
Sure.
I did get asked when I sort of was, I had people commenting on my doodles or reaching out to me in the DMs about how would you, they would say, how can I go about finding like the kind of female friendships that you, it sounds like that you have.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because I guess that can really come down to like where you live. Is it like city versus living rural? Some people even ask, like, what about like hobbies? And some people are like, I genuinely don't have a hobby. I wish I had one.
Yeah.
But I just can't find something. I even would say, even it's like, if that's baby steps for someone, I recently, so I'm into, my little secret is, I don't even know if I've told you, I love like Harry Potter fan fiction. I love basically romance, fantasy kind of category books. Just love it. It's love definitely this.
I'm learning something brand new about you.
So here we go.
And it's adorable.
I mean, like, there's the more mainstream one, like The Fourth Wing, which, and then it's got Iron Flame. Love, yeah, those. But I'll even go in a little bit more of a sappy, smutty, the new word I've learned, which is big in the romance fantasy community. Fantastic. Anyway, I've joined a Facebook community group.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. Yeah. It's, you can even find just a little tiny thing you enjoy. The one, I mean, Facebook's maybe a little bit too old for some of the younger people, but honestly, jump on and join even just for things like that. It's really nice to be in a little group where I don't partake, but I love watching just, it's mainly, I'd say 90% women, 10% men, but it's just really sweet where people will be like, here's some books I've heard about, or what I really enjoyed. It was really smutty. It was really this, or it was, I don't want this. I've got, or I have a certain trauma. Can you tell me what books to avoid?
Yes.
And people are so fun, supportive. There's like memes that are specially just made on this little community. And I just love even watching the support on something like even a little platform like that.
Yeah.
So I think even if it's just dipping your toes in little things like that, and it just brings a smile on my face just sometimes looking through the feed and just seeing how people interact with each other while also getting my new smutty book recommendations.
Fantastic. But, God, yeah, I'm ticking all the boxes with that one.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I think you're right. I think it's about, especially those niche things that you really love are obviously going to be such a reflection of like your personality and your humor and your values and all, yeah, that kind of stuff. So at, the more niche it is, I think the better it is, you know, like even, yes, like, you know, I'm a huge Swiftie and I started,
are
my,
you, are you, are you, are you really? Did you go?
I've made two presentations that I've made Josie sit through, that literal slides, literal, like a PowerPoint, like
full PowerPoint. Old school.
Fully decked out, music, transitions, the whole lot. But like even this little community of amazing people that I found on TikTok who were like Swifties my age from all over the world, where, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, this is just a totally different shared experience about something that I just, you really used to enjoy predominantly by myself. Or, I mean, I obviously, we talk a lot about recovery, so I want to be mindful of like what I'm recommending people go and do, but I can give, okay, personal experiences of like, I'm part of like a hiking group for women, and I've only gone on two, but they were great. They're amazing.
Here in Sydney?
On Facebook.
Oh, cool.
It's amazing. And it's like women who are like a few weeks out, they're like, we're doing Ku-ring-gai National Park, or like we're heading down to here and we'll meet at this time and bring all, this is the kind of level of difficulty and bring this kind of equipment. I went, oh, they've got to go easy ones. big surprise.
Baby steps.
And that was a bit intimidating, you know, the first time I went, but it was great. And it was really just because I was like, I really want to do this hike, but I want to be safe because I'm a woman in Australia and I can't go and do things by myself the way that a man could. Love that for us. So I just wanted to do it. And I was like, well, okay, well, these people already go hiking, so I'll just go with them. That's great.
That's so cool.
And then it was just, we like had some lunch afterwards and it was just a nice time. I mean, I wasn't in search for like my, you know, platonic love of my life or anything, but it was just a really lovely way to spend a Sunday doing this specific walk that I'd wanted to do. So it's like anything that is worth doing. It's going to be a bit scary, but if it's scary or anxiety inducing, it's probably really important to you. Yep. So it's worth giving it a crack.
Yes.
And I think even things like what you're talking about after COVID, things that used to be a little bit niche or even like a little bit daggy, like a book club or something, there are so many more of them around now because COVID necessitated that kind of connection. Yeah. And they've kind of lasted where people, I think, unlike our generation, like it's not that cool or common these days to like go out and get blasted and go out and get really drunk. And like, that's not the only way to meet people these days. People are poor. Hello, like I would like some extra income to actually go and get blasted. Anyone? No, I'm kidding. I can't do the 3-day hangover. But like people are skewing much more towards things that are like their niche interests, and I think are much more open to connection and, you know, through these things, like I said, that I have niche interests that none of my friends are interested in. And sharing them with other people is awesome. So if you're in that position, there's probably a ton of people out there being like, yeah, I've got my other mates, but I can't talk to them about this.
That's exactly what it is.
Let's read some smutty fantasy together.
This is why I love it. Exactly. And I used to think, because I'm an idiot, I was like, oh, I'm the only weirdo who likes this stuff. And I'm like, well, someone didn't write it just for you, Jos. Mm-hmm. You have this little community out there and they're all, I reckon, whatever you're into, like safe, please. But like, whatever you're into, there's going to be a community out there for it. And then it is so cool. So some people, even in this group I'm in for the romance fantasy books, only ever post anonymously because they're so afraid there might be someone else in the group there that knows them and they're requesting a particular like type of book and what topics they want covered in it. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, man, you do you. But it's so... it's so nice though to even just read someone being like, I'm just really afraid someone else will read this. And this is just what I love.
Yeah.
So if any record, and then there's just people there who won't be anonymous and they're like, oh yeah, got a million books I can recommend for this, blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, spreadsheet. How cool is it? Like there's no judgment there.
Yeah.
Even though we've made it a self-conscious thing in our head. It's just so nice to just go straight into these little communities and just be like, right. Here's my people in this tiny little niche thing I enjoy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, looking for things like, you know, when I'm working with clients of all ages where they're like, I just feel like my access to being able to like make friends is, it's just too hard for me to put myself in maybe a situation like what we've talked about. Education's a great one. Go and do a short course, go and do a workshop, go and do something where, you know, small talk's going to start and then you're going to have that shared thing of like, what did they say about the homework? Did you get bullet point 2? Because I didn't. And then, oh, suddenly you're having a chat and then you have enough of those. And then you're maybe, like you said, with mums that you run into being like, actually, do you want to go and get a coffee or something?
Yeah.
But again, it's still going to require being brave. But it does, there are ways to get yourself into situations. Like our retreats, the last retreat that we did, two of our attendees are now like, besties and like go out for dinner and stuff down in Melbourne.
Gosh, that's and cool.
To hear about that was just like incredibly cool because that was a, you know, core shared thing that they had was, you know, wanting more friendship in their lives. And I know that that's the case with some of our attendees in April. So to see people come together for one reason and then be surprised by like, oh, actually there's, you know, possibilities of building connection and friendship here that I didn't consider. Probably means that there's other opportunities that are passing you by because you're not looking for those chances because they're scary, but they're scary because they're important. So go and do it.
And it also, the same as you shouldn't throw all the eggs in the basket, like you were saying before, with the someone you might be in a romantic relationship with, and also same with friendship. So it's like everything I enjoy, I don't do with you.
No.
Even though you're like my best friend.
Yeah.
I have multiple female friendships for different things, and I think, you know, sometimes I might meet up with one who isn't very vulnerable with feelings. Mm. They don't really talk about that stuff, but they're a huge joy to be around.
Yeah.
We talk about the similarities, that the things that we do have, like, for example, so I met one in mother's group. We talk about, you know, the parenting side of things and kids and assholes they can be sometimes, but sorry.
You're not just meant to talk about what miracles they are all the time, Josie.
It's such a blessing.
24/7.
Oh man. just going through a little rough trot at the moment. Oh, yeah. But you know, that's fine. I'm like, oh, she doesn't like open up about sort of the hard stuff. And I'm like, but that's okay. She's a wonderful person to be around for the, you know, you can have different friendships for different things. So you can have your little niche, weird interest of yours and have that little group, maybe make a friend there, or like the two women meeting on your retreat. And like, that doesn't mean they're going to be the bestest of friends maybe for 60 years or anything.
Yeah.
But how wonderful to just even have, you can just even have like a really small connection over one thing, or a shared one thing together. And it's that, it doesn't have to become something huge or like 31 years of friendship. Mm. It's just, that will just feed your soul, you know, and maybe give you that energy to potentially even take that into trying something new or meeting other people or giving you that confidence, whatever.
Yeah.
Looking for.
Yeah, yeah. Beautifully put. Yeah, I think that this has been, like, Holly's done her interview with her best friend, and then we're going to come together and discuss like what we both sort of talked about in our separate chats, etc.
Yeah.
So it's a three-parter, like it's the first time we're doing a three-part series, but I thought it was just such an important one to do because for so many different reasons, as like I think that's another shared thing that's made the longevity of our friendship possible, is I think we both view friendship in the same way, which that it is so foundational and so formative, and it's not something you like just take for granted, or as much as we say it's effortless, there is still a level of like commitment that it takes to maintain a friendship and keep a long-term friendship, and an amount of like mutual understanding and empathy and patience and all those things that every single, you know, long-term relationship requires. But yeah, I think that hopefully if people are listening to this and thinking that friendship just isn't or won't be an aspect of their life for whatever reason, it might be because of the impact of their eating disorder and how isolating and horrendous that can be towards relationships and friendships, or it might be because you are somebody who kind of did drink the Kool-Aid as far as, you know, really prioritizing that romantic relationship above all others, which again, no judgment, all empathy. It's totally understandable how people end up in those patterns and cycles. Or you're somebody who is telling themselves that, you know, past friendships have kind of just sailed by and they can't be rectified or whatever. Or they're too scared to embark on sort of new avenues and connections to friendship. I hope that this just gives people pause as far as the role of female friendship in their life, and also maybe how open they are to exploring all the different avenues to being able to reconnect to it.
God, I hope so. Mm. Yeah. I just love it so much. It's just, I honestly wouldn't be in the state I'm in or pursue the things that, like, on my own that make me happy if it weren't for my female friendships.
100%.
That's just,
Yeah. I wouldn't be who I am, and I wouldn't have, I think, like, coped with the majority of things that I've been through if not for that core sense of friendship. So thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. Do you want to let people know where you are, or are we taking a break from sharing the Doodle account?
What do you mean?
Well, like, can people come and find you?
Oh yeah, sure. Like, I mean, it's all still there. I don't know when. I think I last uploaded like maybe a year and a half ago, and I'm not sharing anything on the Insta stories, but even if people just want to have a little sift through, go for it.
Well, there's still so much value to them and wisdom and joy.
You know, they might come back. You know, she might be back.
Yeah.
At some point, just having a little bit of a breather.
Cause you're not busy.
No, not busy at all.
It's just laziness. That's why you're not doing it.
I know. Just, just sitting around doing nothing and raising a human just being, can't be bothered.
Working your butt off.
Oh, gosh. One day maybe.
Yes.
But yes, okay, you can come find. I thought you meant like where I live. And I was like, no, thank you.
1, 2, 3, internet straight.
I'm a little bit worried because of that question about the defining our relationship between you and me.
I wish I knew who asked that. I have a million questions for them.
I'm a little bit floored by that one.
I am too. I'll show it to you. It is, the wording is wild.
Is it scary or excited?
No, it's very like, I feel like I'm being cross-examined.
Oh.
What exactly is the nature of your relationship with @josie.doodles?
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is,
I feel like it's someone, proper. I feel like it's really personal. I feel like it's some, I don't know.
Okay. Oh my God. I can't wait. When we're on our way, I wonder what we're going to be talking about. Let's come up with our list of suspects.
So thank you so much, Jose. A pleasure always. Love you always.
I love you. I feel so good. After. I mean, how nice just to talk about us and our friendship for the last hour and a half or whatever. That's my heart is full again.
We'll be back for the 50 year.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We'll be on holiday in like Bora Bora or something.
From Tahiti.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, we'll see.